You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Welcome to another episode in our ongoing series, JX Reads. In this episode, we'll explore some popular book genres and titles, as well as new trends in reading with our two guests from Jackson County Library Services. They both joined me in the studio. Josh Letzinger is the Community Outreach Manager at Jackson County Library Services. Good to see you again, Josh.
It's nice to be here, Mike. Thank you.
And April Bozada Armstrong is a selection librarian in charge of digital collections at JCLS. Also, good to see you again.
Thank you for having me back.
So, later on, we're going to be joined by a special guest at the Shasta County Office of Education. But for now, I'm sure our listeners are interested in hearing about the popular genres in our region. But before we go there, tell me about the trends in reading practices that you've noticed this past year.
Yeah, Mike. So we're looking forward to 2026, and we're kind of doing one of those, you know, what's going to be popular? What do we think is going to happen? And we'll just dive right in. We've got a few of them that I'd like to talk about. And the first one is just read what you own. And I think, you know, there's a lot. Hopefully your bookshelves have been expanding over the past year and the holidays are over. You got all those wonderful books just sitting there collecting dust. So let's wipe those off and read them. And a lot of those, too, are going back to read. I think reading the books that you've owned, you haven't touched in maybe 10 years. It's, you know, for me, it's Lord of the Rings. I think I'm going to revisit that again. It's about high time I do that. So trend number one, read what you own.
Okay, so that's something that I'm taking into consideration because I have a ton of books.
Yes.
My wife has a ton of books. My daughter, she's 25, just graduated from Portland State. She's got a ton of books.
Yep.
And I have two teenage boys, 13 and 14. And over the holidays, we've picked up the practice of them reading to me, which we used to. I used to read to them, but now they read to me. And so we've been reading, and we're just finishing a book. It's an old book. It's called Black Like Me.
Oh yeah,
and so it's just wonderful to hear my boys read to me, and I look around my bookshelf and I see so many other books that they're going to read.
Yes, to you, yes. And part of that too is actually that goes straight into trend number two, and that's annotated reading. And so, and April made sure when we were discussing this is don't write in your library books, but those books that you own. Go ahead and annotate them. Underline the things that you like. Write, make notes in the sides, in the margins. Get a highlighter out. And it just kind of helps you immerse yourself a little bit more. It's kind of like old school if you would have a textbook. But this is more for fun. And I think it just kind of helps you retain more. And it helps you really engage more with that story. And so those books, once you dust them off, if you read them once a while ago, feel free to mark them up. They're yours. It's healthy. It keeps you engaged and it keeps you active in that story.
My wife has a practice of doing that. I've never actually done that.
Yeah, it's worth a try. Yeah, yeah, give it a shot.
If you're nervous about it, you can use sticky notes.
That is exactly what I do.
That's true. Or the little flags on sentences or passages you like, all that good stuff. And then the last trend that we're going to focus on is pair reading. And pair reading is really interesting. This is actually something I hadn't heard about until I did a little research, and this came up from one of the folks in our system. And that's where
read. I want to say, because of Harry and David, and we live in pair country.
P-A-I-R. So pair reading. Yeah, I like P-E-A-R. You can read about pairs too. But it's alternating between fiction and nonfiction, but focusing on kind of the same subject. And so that way you get – and you're doing that simultaneously, so in conjunction with each other. So we're reading a nonfiction book about a subject, and then we're reading a fiction book about a subject at the same time. And so you get those two kind of different perspectives about the subject, and it kind of gives you a more complete story. You get the facts, and then you get the perspective.
You know, that's interesting because I like historical fiction.
There you go.
And so reading something that's nonfiction but also reading the historical fiction, I think that works well.
Yeah, yeah, it does. And it's helpful that it's the same subject so your mind can kind of focus in and it's essentially like merging these stories.
Okay. So what are people most interested in that you've seen? What are some of the popular genres?
Well, I mean, what we're seeing really is kind of just genre dominance in general, but romance continues to be a very popular genre for folks to read in. There's many subgenres of romance, from hockey to, you know, new parents to all sorts of different things, and everybody really likes to bop around in that category. But we're also seeing a lot of interest in horror, mystery, and sci-fi, but we're really seeing a lot of mushing those genres together. Wait.
Because I'm confused. Horror and romance, you can
yeah, mesh. Why not? Why can't you have a love story when there's Dracula is kind of a love story. That's horror and romance, so it's not.
It's a brave new world, Mike. Let's explore it.
Okay.
So you might hear terms like romanticy, or you might have a spy thriller, but that takes place in the future, so a sci-fi thriller kind of thing, or that sort of thing. Just kind of mixing two or three little flavors together to create something new.
Well, that makes sense. So in this age of popular podcasts, I'm a big podcast listener. Yes. What's happening with audiobooks?
I'm seeing a lot with audiobooks. Specifically, I work with the digital collection, so I do purchase a lot of audiobooks. And what we're seeing a lot of is full cast recordings. That includes newer titles, books by like Sarah Maas, and those, they'll get a full cast recording of the book, even though there's already an audiobook recording with a single narrator. But you're also seeing Blackstone is actually putting out full cast recordings of older books like As I Lay Dying and The Maltese Falcon. So it's a trend across the board.
What does full cast recording mean?
That means that you have different narrators or voice actors doing the different characters. Or if it was like an epistolary novel, you might have different actors reading the different letters from different characters.
Okay, so it's like putting on a play.
Exactly, yeah. And they'll include music and other production value.
Oh, cool. Have they found that's just more engaging of readers, or is it just kind of like a bonus to?
I think that it is both. I think people are, when they love a novel, they want to stay in that world a little bit longer, and it gives you permission to revisit that world. Okay. So having a new version of it to revisit gives you a reason to go back to that book. Also, we're seeing a lot of different things that are keeping those popular books in the mainstream, and that is these full cast recordings, but also special editions of books coming out, so really beautiful end papers on books, hardcover bindings, new editions of titles as well.
You're listening to JX Reads on the Jefferson Exchange. My guests are Josh Letzinger and April Bozada Armstrong from Jackson County Library Services. Now, when you were talking about these audiobooks and full cast recordings, what's going through my head, I'm listening to the podcast Burn Order by Rachel Maddow.
Uh-huh.
And she uses you have the music, you have the narration, but you also have this audio from the past. So you have the actual voices of people in the story. Is that kind of?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think we are all a little bit more used to the production values of radio and podcasts now, so maybe we expect it more when we're listening to audiobooks. What she's doing sounds more like a little bit of an audio documentary, but this in the fiction world, we do it too. Okay.
So let's talk about actual books. What's on your recommended reading list?
So there's a couple of really good titles coming out this year. I'll start with just what is stacked up in my pile. None of them are out yet, but they're coming out soon. So George Saunders is one of my favorite authors. Folks might be familiar with Link in the Bardo, which he wrote, but he has a new title coming out called Vigil. I like George Saunders. He's a short story writer, so his writing is tight. He also tends to work in a bit of a surrealist fashion. In Link in the Bardo, you had many ghosts in a graveyard speaking to each other. In Vigil, he's kind of going back to the same place, and it's an oil man on his deathbed and an industrialist, and he's kind of in that liminal space between life and death and exploring kind of what the repercussions of his actions are on the environment and the earth, I also think it's one that will be good in audio because it will have multiple voices. Lincoln in Bardo was a good audiobook because it had a full cast of characters.
Okay, and the book is called?
Vigil.
And it's shorter, right? We talked about
this outside. 120 pages.
So that was important, and I think we talked about it because I just picked up Dune again, and so that is
expansive.
Way more than 120 pages. But we were talking about ways to break that reading up, and so picking up, you know, getting through during the week, you read your really committed novel, and then on weekends, pick up something that's a little smaller, give yourself a break, and enjoy something new. Yeah.
So tell me the difference in what attracts a person to read a really long book, 500-700 pages, mm-hmm. which my 14-year-old will do
yeah.
and has done many times. And my 13-year-old won't even pick it up.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, for me, it's commitment and attention span. But April brought up a great point is the world building. And so, like, specifically, if you really want to immerse yourself into that, that length gives you that opportunity to go into these details. I mean, we're talking about scenes that, you know, you could spend one sentence on if you were trying to shorten it, but some of these authors really take the time and dive into and devote entire chapters to just one conversation, right? And so you're describing the room and the air and every single line. And that for me is, I enjoy that, right? And that's part of why I like those big... Yeah.
Okay, so it's sort of like cinematic
yeah,
in your imagination.
Yeah. It gives you the opportunity to kind of build that in your head.
And I would be like your 13-year-old in that I prefer a more spare novel where there's an economy of language. And I think you can still end up a librarian even if you like the tiny novels.
Well, you mentioned that George Saunders writes tight.
Yeah, tight fiction.
What does that mean?
I just think that it's... a real concentration on the language and just focusing in on a very specific moment. So, like, Vigil is a very specific moment. It's one night, and you're exploring the world through the lens of this one night, whereas something like Dune or Lord of the Rings is an expansive universe that you're entering into, and you have many characters. His work tends to focus on a specific time and specific characters within that time. So not even necessarily encompassing their entire lives, just this one aspect of their lives. And so you get to spend a lot of time in that one sector of their life. And I find that really interesting.
Okay, so he gets you in, takes you on a wild ride, and you get
yes.
off.
Sometimes a very wild ride.
Sort of like a roller coaster. So there's another book, Good People.
Mm-hmm. So that's one that I have not read, but I am looking forward to because I've just heard a lot of good buzz about it. It's by, and I'm sorry if my pronunciation is off, but Patmina Sabit. And it's a debut novel, so it's first-time author, but I've just been hearing about it everywhere. It's another book that is formed by a bunch of voices, this time describing the experiences of a family of Afghan immigrants. You get a lot of different perspectives of their experiences, and none of them come actually directly from the family. So I think that it might be a really interesting book stylistically, but mm-hmm. also the content very relevant to what's going on in our lives today.
Absolutely. We also want to hear from you, our listeners. Tell us what you're reading and give us a brief description of the story. We'd love to hear your book recommendations, so send us an email at jx@jeffnet.com. Now, be sure to include who you are, the title of the book, the author, and a brief description. We would love to get it on the air during this time or a future episode of JX Reads. So again, send us an email at jx@jeffnet.org. Now, we're going to have to take a short break in just a moment. I'll be right back with my guests, Josh Letzinger and April Bozzata Armstrong. Plus, we'll be joined by a new guest from the Shasta County Office of Education. I'm Mike Green, and you're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. You're listening to JX Reads on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guests in the studio are Josh Letzinger, Community Outreach Manager at Jackson County Library Services, and April Bozada Armstrong, a Selection Librarian and Curator of Digital Collections at JCLS. Now, joining us on the phone is Holly Keene. She's the Literacy Coordinator with the Shasta County Office of Education. Welcome to The Exchange, Holly.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's great to be here.
So tell me about the work you do as a Literacy Coordinator.
As a Literacy Coordinator in Shasta County, what we do is, Shasta County is a little bit unique. We have 25 different school districts. So the county office supports all of those school districts with literacy initiatives. So whether it's implementing new curriculum, or we do a lot of training for our amazing teachers here in Shasta County. We work with different community agencies. We have a rural collaborative network that we work with. We do all kinds of fun stuff here.
Okay, so I'm kind of confused because I thought the teacher was the in charge of the literacy, but you're in charge of teachers. Coordinating it.
No, we're just in charge of supporting the teachers. So we're kind of the support staff to make sure teachers have what they need to be successful.
Gotcha.
So that's our job.
Okay, so what brought you to this role?
A passion for learning. I shared in my biography that in third grade I read Helen Keller's biography, and it really impacted the rest of my life. I wanted to be like Anne Sullivan, her teacher, and make a difference in the lives of children.
You read Helen Keller's biography and that influenced you?
It did. It did. I was in third grade. I'll never forget that. And then I ended up being a third grade teacher, so it kind of came full circle.
Okay, so that's amazing. And now you're in charge of the Reading Pals program, is that right?
Yes. Shasta County, we're partnering with Butte County. They started Reading Pals, and then we asked, can we be a part of this? I knew that we had some amazing community members that would fully support Reading Pals, and we've got it off the ground this year.
So tell me about it. What is Reading Pals, and how did it get started?
Reading Pals, it started in Butte County, like I just said. There's a thing called ACEs, and that is a measurement of adverse childhood experiences. And unfortunately, a lot of our rural counties are, you know, the top in the ACEs scores. So right now, it's Shasta, Trinity, Modoc, and Humboldt County are the top four counties with these high childhood experiences. And what that means is they have 0 to 10 different experiences in their lives that impact their ability to learn and kind of function in life. So Butte County had some concerned citizens and wanted to figure out, how do we help change this trajectory? How do we, make a difference in our community? And they looked at literacy. So if you were in third grade and you're not reading at grade level, chances are that you are going to end up either in jail or on welfare. And that hasn't changed in the last 15 years. It's really difficult to catch kids up after third grade if they're not at grade level in reading. So they did a lot of research, spent a lot of time figuring out, like, how can we most effectively help without burdening schools further? Because as we know, teachers' plates are full. They have a lot to do. And they really wanted to make a high impact with low stress for teachers. So that's kind of where Reading Pals came up. So it's a relation-based it's a relationship-based program. So what that means is we have volunteers that go into schools. They volunteer one day a week for 1 hour. They work with two different students. So they're working with those kids for 30 minutes each. So that is 30 minutes of face time with an adult with no phones, no laptops, nothing but books, papers, and pencils. So that's kind of unheard of. That's kind of like a out-of-the-box thinking right now with where we're at in society with all of our amazing technology. And I'm not saying technology is bad. I'm just saying that there's a time and place for everything. So this program really allows those students to make these relationships with these adults. And what it does is it calms their body and allows them to feel safe and helps them learn. So it's a pretty structured program for a volunteer. They go in and the school hires a coordinator, and the coordinator makes sure that the students and the volunteers work together in a comfortable reading level. So we want it to be challenging but not too easy for that student. We want them to learn and grow. So they read a fiction and a nonfiction book together, and then the volunteers are trained to ask open-ended questions, and they're giving different reading strategies. And we want to make sure volunteers know you don't have to know how to teach reading, but you do have to have a big heart for students and care about their future.
And what age range are the students?
Typically, the we call them like our bubble kids. The ideal sweet spot for these students is second and third grade. So these are students that are kind of handpicked for having good attendance. They don't have any sort of learning disabilities. They don't have an educational individual education plan. They're not involved in special ed. They're just kind of those kids that need that extra little push over the finish line to get it back to grade level at reading or with their reading.
And what is the age range of your volunteers?
Well, we have volunteers. Typically, they are retired, but we do have some families have volunteered together. So our age range is from 13 to 85. And our 85-year-old is spry, let me tell you. I have to try and keep up with her.
Well, she must be to be dealing with these little kids with all the energy.
Yes. And let me tell you, the kids have some energy.
So who chooses the books?
It's actually a curriculum. It's an OCOPY curriculum. It was chosen by Butte County. And what we really like about it is it's a fiction book and a nonfiction book. So students in third grade have the opportunity to do their state testing for the first time. And they're required to really look at texts in fiction and nonfiction texts. And they're asked to cite sources out of two different sources. They're asked to compare and contrast, do some really high level thinking. So that curriculum was kind of picked specifically for that so that they could have fiction and nonfiction. And we really like the curriculum also because it's building their background knowledge, increasing their vocabulary, and that'll help increase their reading comprehension.
How will you measure the impact and success of the program?
That is a good question. So all students take their districts or their schools all have initial testing in August when they come back from summer. So we look at those scores and then we look at the end of the year scores and we pull out the kids that have been reading PALS students. And then we look at the growth from those students. So this is our first year in Shasta County, but Butte County has been tracking their data for about a decade. And it consistently shows that the reading PALS students maintain higher levels of growth than the students that didn't participate in the Reading PALS program.
Well, it sounds like a great program. How can people learn more and volunteer their time?
Well, I would love to talk to those people that are interested in volunteering their time here in Shasta County. They can contact me at the Shasta County Office of Education.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Holly.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was my pleasure.
That was Holly King, Literacy Coordinator at the Shasta County Office of Education. You're listening to JX Reads on the Jefferson Exchange, and if you're just tuning in, my studio guests are Josh Letzinger and April Bozada Armstrong from the Jackson County Library Services. Josh, tell me about some of the activities and special programs at the library.
Yeah, so we've got a couple of, the first half we talked about reading, and with a new year comes new challenges, right? And so part of that, we've got a couple of challenges at the library. I'll start outside the library for a second. There's a website called Goodreads, and they have a broad list. If you it's a very easy subscription. You sign, or not a subscription, but you just sign up, and they've got all sorts of fun challenges to keep you engaged. We do something very similar. We've got a software called Beanstack. And so that is where you can go on. It's an app on your phone. You can log in through the computer and track all of your challenges, track all your reading throughout the year with specific challenges. And so we have our year-long challenge. And this year it's fun because we're kind of going with the theme of exploring areas of Jackson County. And so as you read, X number of pages or X number of books, you earn badges, and it just kind of helps you stay motivated throughout the year. And then, of course, Rogue Reads. That's happening right now. We've talked about it before, but that's a really awesome program where we bought a bunch of copies of the same book, Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt, and then another book for children, The Octopus Escapes by Miley Malloy. And then Shelby Van Pelt will actually be here at the end of February on February 20th. to do an author talk at the Criterion Theater in downtown Medford. So those are three really great challenges, great places to start. I would suggest if you want to stay motivated, get on Beanstack. We do challenges throughout the year, and it's just a great way to track, and then you can go back at the end of the year and see what you did.
Excellent. Now, as we have our about 4 minutes left in this program, mm-hmm. I did ask for our listeners if they were reading to offer some of their recommendations. And one of our listeners, Jeffrey Baxter, wrote in and gave me at least 20 titles. So I'm not going to go through, but The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt is one of them. The Highest Tide, Jim Lynch. White Teeth by Zadie Smith is another. This is a reader.
Yes. And actually, that is a challenge that I've done myself in the past, is to ask people in my circle to recommend books for me. And I got a really good broad range of different titles doing that, from nonfiction to young adult novels. And so if you're really looking to broaden your reading, go ahead and ask those folks around you. Or if you don't know anyone, ask a librarian or someone at the circulation desk at the library. We're always happy to make a recommendation.
Or they can ask Jeffrey Baxter.
Or Jeffrey Baxter. Thank you, Jeffrey Baxter. Those are all very quality titles.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeffrey. He says he moved here from Portugal to Ashland.
Welcome.
You know, just recently, a year and a half ago. So tell me about some of the titles you recommend, some of the new titles this year.
Okay. So this year is chock full of new books from familiar names, literary heavyweights. And I can just kind of give you a calendar of what you should be reading all the way through August if we want to venture into it that way. So I started you off with Vigil by George Saunders. That comes out January 26th. And then you'll read Good People by Padmina Sabit on February 3rd. That comes out February 3rd. Obviously, you might need to play some catch up at some point. But Jan Martel, who wrote, Life of Pi, has a new title called Son of Nobody, and that is a two-layered retelling of the Trojan War. Life of Pi was a very popular novel and movie. If you really enjoyed Jan Martel, he's a new one coming out on March 31st.
What was that book about, Life of Pi?
That was where the young boy is on a life raft with animals, the tiger, and other things.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
The movie trailer with.
Yeah, it's also a very popular film. And it's hard to describe the full plot without spoilers. big spoilers.
Yep. Okay.
So,
read that one first and then read Son of Nobody.
Yeah, and so if you haven't read Life of Pi, it's a good, great read. And then go ahead and pick up Son of Nobody if you enjoyed it. I don't have a title for April, so that'll give you a chance to catch up. Or just as a hint, maybe read Colson Whitehead's Harlem Trilogy, the first two books. May 26th, Matt Haig, who wrote The Midnight Library, we love a book with a library, has a follow-up that's not a direct sequel, but kind of in the same vein, called The Midnight Train. And that is another one where we're visiting someone in the last moments of his life, revisiting his life. But Matt Haig, also kind of a magical realist, and Midnight Library is extremely popular, so if you enjoyed that one, Midnight Train is coming for you in May. June, I have two books. Ann Patchett, who everyone loves, has a new book called Whistler. Ann Patchett wrote Bel Canto, Tom Lake, many other novels. She's also our favorite bookstore owner in Tennessee. And then Maggie O'Farrell, who wrote Hamnet, which is a movie that is an Oscar contender now, a book turned into a movie, has a new book called Land that, instead of delving into the life of Shakespeare's son, looks into the life of folks in her native Ireland. It takes place in 1865 and follows a land surveyor as he goes across the land mapping Ireland. And it's still an Ireland that's still affected by the Great Hunger. So there's a lot of meat on the bone there. And then in July, because in April you caught up with the Harlem Trilogy, you can check out Colson Whitehead's completion to that trilogy called The Cool Machine.
Okay, so you have us all the way through to the summer.
I do.
I really appreciate that. Also, I just want to add that I interviewed Tara Lohan, who is the author of Undammed, Freeing Rivers and Bringing Communities to Life.
Oh, yes.
And you can listen to that here on JPR, and you can also get that book. So that's all the time we have. Thank you both.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
My guests were Josh Letzinger and April Bozada Armstrong from Jackson County Library Services. And thanks again to Holly King from the Shasta County Department of Education.